dealing with the devil, that would be my sermon. Bob asked me, Vasily, you want to say something about the work in Kissimmee? I'd appreciate that. I'd rather to bring you something, you know, that it can stay in your mind, God's word. I like to bring topics that provoke. I like to hear sermons that provoke. I didn't know that Brother Salih was here sooner. I mean, I understand and I have heard that he preaches, you know, very provoking sermons. And I like that idea. I do that to myself also, you know. I want to hear something that challenged me in my spiritual life. And dealing with the devil is not unusual for me and for you. Even though you don't might like the idea, that is true. We deal with them very often, more often than what you think. I will be basing my sermon as in Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 13. We will read in a moment. But let me first of all tell you what some scholars and people that really study deeply the Word of God define the word temptation. Temptation can be defined as an act of enticement to sin. So it's the open invitation for all of us to sin, to do something that is against God. Right? So we are invited to do something like that very often. And that doesn't surprise me. Because this is something that we will face, some of us, very often in a day, some of us, not that often, all depends our spirituality, our faith, our state of maturity. So, this is what temptation is. It's an act of enticement to sin accompanied by a promise of pleasure. That's the bait, you know. That one is lure us to do something because it's promising something that we're going to enjoy, something that we're going to gain, something we're going to obtain. Eve and Adam will never eat the forbidden fruit if Satan doesn't promise something to them. They will never do it. But they did it because of the promise. You will be like God. Well, if somebody promised that to me, I'll be like God. First thing came to my mind, you know what it is? If I'm God, I don't need to give account of my deeds to nobody. I'm God. You know the peace of mind that means? You can live your life whatever you want to. And never give account to nobody. Besides your power that you will have, things like that. So that's what it attracts many of us, you know. And being tempted is not a sin. Dr. James, like I call James, you know, really develops the process of the temptation, how it matures, how it develops in us. I'm not going to get into it because that's deep also, a deep thought, and I don't want to just superficial talk about it. But just, you can find out, you know, in James chapter 1, verse 12 to 15. Three observations about temptation. Number one, temptation is totally impartial. That means Satan doesn't care who you are. Satan doesn't care how old are you. Satan doesn't care how mature, how many years of serving the Lord you have. He doesn't care. He even went and tempted the most spiritual man that walked on earth, Jesus Christ. So if he did that with him, what would you think that will do with us? So it is completely impartial. Temptation is extremely, extremely persistent. In my lesson, if I have time, because I know that I need to respect your hours, but if I have time, I will share with you a thought that, I don't know if that will run on your mind or not, but God called us to be fishermen, Right? He called the apostles to be a fisherman. And we'll do the same thing. When we preach, we're trying to cut a soul to come to Christ. But I believe that Satan also is a very expert fisherman. He has trapped so many souls. You know how, why? Because he has studied us very, very carefully. And then he finds out what we like. And guess what? He will offer that to us. But it will be a hook behind that bait. And he will trap you. He will catch you. Once he's with us, it will be hard to get rid of him. He's very persistent. Young people, you need to put that in mind. Since very early in your age. Don't deal with the devil. You start driving and he asks you for a ride, don't give him a ride. Sooner he'll be driving. You'll be in the back rear seat. But not just young people. We also are in the same category and same possibility that he will come to us. Besides that, temptation is uniquely personal. You know why? Because what I told you, he studied us personally. Where are you coming from, Satan? God asked it. I'll be around the earth. Do you think he came to the Smoky Mountains and was like, wow, God is a great creator. Look at the beautiful of these mountains. No way. He was not doing that. He was studying the life of Bob, Basilio, and many of us. And through all that careful study that he does on us, he knows what we like. He knows our strongest side, but he also knows our weak side. Now, he's not God. He's not almighty. He's not powerful. But through study, I always believe that fishing is a science, and I never was good in science. Don't invite me to fish, please. I mean, if you want me a fish sandwich, I can eat it, but not to go and fish. That's totally different. All right? So, in the 1800s, there was a person that was so frustrated with the cultural, religious environment in which he was living. He wants to be mature. He wants to serve the Lord. He wants to be holy. But he find out in 1800s that the culture and the environment, the city, the village where he lived was so corrupted in the 1800s. So he decided to move to a hillside and he find a cave and said, you know what? I'm a very simple people. I'm going to hunt the animals. I will grow my own garden. So I don't need to be living in the city. I will get away from the city because there's so many temptations there. Well, sometime before that, sometimes passed, and then he came back to the city realizing this. He says on his diary, even there in that cave, he says, even there all alone I was tempted with thoughts of great pride. Worldly temptation is still knocking at my door. There in a cave temptation found me. Am I telling you we're done? Am I telling you that we don't have any hope? Well, that's not what the Bible says. We do have hope. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And it's so hard. It is so dangerous to be giving ourselves to temptations. That's why once and many times the Bible says in a different way, flee from temptation. Run away. Escape for your life. Be careful. You think because you're an elder or I'm a preacher, And I've been serving the Lord for 40 some years. I'm super strong. Satan won't do nothing to me. That's a foolish thought. I have read some commentaries and says that the hardest tests and temptations that came to Job, to Daniel, to Abraham, came on the elderly days. David. What was he doing when he was old and about to die? Entertain himself. He has people brought to her a young lady to with him. So now, let's not fall on that thought that we are free of temptation. Now we can develop a lot of strategies how to escape from being tempted. Okay? I think we are, because the Bible says that. He's a fisherman too, I told you. He's an expert fisherman. He has been perfecting himself for centuries. He knows well that bait to use. What bait to use? Like I'm telling you, I don't like to fish. But I have read about it that that's a lie, that one bait is good for all kind of fish. That's not true. You need to look for different baits for different kind of fish. So Satan knows that. What it can be tempting for me, it cannot be tempting for Brother Watson. And vice versa. Right? So, well, we're about to receive in this lesson an amazing model in this life of Jesus Christ, who is going to depend on the same things that we depend on every single day. Jesus overcome, as you know, he defeat the devil. As many times as he came to his life, he defeated him. Jesus is a champion. That's why he was crowned. That's why he's our savior. So he's a perfect model to follow in how to overcome temptations. And some of us will say, well, that's kind of unfair. Don't give me that example, Brother Basilio, because, I mean, he's God. Of course, he's going to defeat the devil. But he didn't defeat it as God. He came as a human being to show us how to live. And he used the same thing that we will need to use: obedience, submission, humility, patience, mind and heart, saturated with the word of God. Those are the tools that we need. Those are the weapons that we will use if we want to be also victorious over the temptation that Satan will bring to our life. Amen. That will be the same thing. It won't be nothing different now. But sometimes we're not humble enough. So we don't obey God. We don't submit to his will. We want to fulfill our will, not God's will. And that's our problem. If Jesus Christ, the most spiritual mature man who ever lived, was tempted, certainly you and I will be tempted as well. So we need to remember this. This is our help. Being obedient, be submissive, be humble, be patient, saturate, be full of God's word. Not just in our head, because some of us, we memorize so many passages and we memorize them real well. One thing is saying it, other different thing is living it in our heart. It's a very different thing. You know why we fell so many times into temptation? And that's what really hurt us. And we ask God, why am I being again in trouble? Why cannot I overcome this temptation? I'm a faithful Christian. I'm there every single service. I want to do what is right. Because we know perfectly what we need to do We have everything in our head, but very few things in our heart. And that's our problem. Many Christians have fallen away. I mean, have you heard stories of preachers going away? Why? Because they didn't know what the scripture said. No, they knew. But they were not putting that word in their hearts. They don't live by it. And that's a different thing. Okay? Am I scaring you? You look at me like, I hope not. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Read my lips, because I know my... That's why I wrote a lot of things here, okay? Because I know that you're not... You'll be understanding probably 40 or 50% of what I'm saying, but pay attention to the screen, please. You don't understand what I'm saying. At least you will get my point of the lesson, okay?
You did a good job.
Thank you, brother. So the place of the great battle. Let's go to the Bible and Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing afterwards. When they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Well, we have the scripture here. Now let's analyze something before we'll dip into it. Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit. In your plain English, it says the same thing in Spanish, in the plain Spanish language. I understand he was filled. He was controlled. He was in a perfect fellowship with God. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. I think when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, when I have a perfect fellowship with God, it will be hard for me to fall into temptation. Or it will be hard to be tempted. After all, I'm filled of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Basilio, you're wrong. And I tend to believe, after I prepared this sermon, that when we are more close to God, will be tempted harder. You know why, right? Because Satan is working in our lives to depart us. He knows that finally we find a way, we're willing finally to submit to God. He says, no, I don't want to lose this soul. I'm going to keep trying, and the temptation will be even harder in our life. Things will happen to us. I mean, remember what happened to Job. Job lost.
I mean, that really scared me to think, you know, what Job went through. And sometimes I believe that we picture him as just a cartoon or character, you know, that was fictitious. And it wasn't. He had so great love for his children, even though he prayed every day for them. He was a very industrious guy. He was upright. He was just. He was honest. He loved God. It's hard to believe what happened to him. I understand Mrs. Job. She couldn't understand why a person that right, that just, like her husband, will be sitting down in a pile of ashes without anything, without health, without children, without friends, without any material possession. How pitiful condition was where Job was sitting down there. She just cannot handle it anymore. I'm not trying to justify her. I understand what she went through. Have you heard, you know, pain of secondhand? That's what it is. If your husband is sick, your husband is
supporting that pain, going through that situation. But the wife, she's really suffering because she cannot do anything else for you. So she's also taking it so hard. And without justifying what I said, Miss Job, or Job's wife, you know, I'm just saying, it was so hard for her, losing 10 children. I believe that Job really was in very good health. The way that he lost his children, I guess a heart attack will be in many of us. Stroke, right away. What a tragedy, losing your 10 children in one single moment. And the way it was. So was filled with the Holy Spirit that is under the direction of the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 5:18. We assume that if we are filled with the Spirit, we should not be in a wilderness. I'm sorry. I mean, if I'm in a perfect fellowship with God, why will God take me to this place? I believe that we can be, it will be much better to think that we'll be in green pastures. According to Psalm chapter 23, verse 2, but also verse 5 says that, remember, he prepares a table in front of your enemies. So, both things are in the same Psalm. It's just something for you to think. That, and this was, when this occurred? Right at the beginning of his physical ministry. I mean, he prepared himself for 30 years. Now he was ready. He was declared by God in a loud voice from heaven, "You are my beloved son." So he was ready to put him, to work his ministry on this earth. What was his ministry? Save us! And right away Satan, shoo, came to his life. "I'll stop you. I'm not going to let you go to the cross. I know what the cross means. I'll stop you right away." I don't want you to finish your work. I know what it means. So since the beginning, he came to Jesus' life. Now, something else that really calls my attention in verse 2. It says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days. Most of us, I want to be talking about myself. I was thinking for many years that he was just tempted 3 times in that occasion. But that's not what Luke says. Luke says that for 40 days he was tempted. What Luke recorded for us and Matthew and Mark was just the last 3 temptations. I believe that was the climactic, the more detailed temptation that Satan prepared to present to Jesus. But the rest of the day, the 39 days before, he was actually daily tempting Jesus with so many temptations. For 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. These last 3 were the best ones that Satan has to present for Jesus. He can really switch his alliance from God to him. I'll give you something to think about, son of God. I'll prepare for you something that I know that you're going to follow in this temptation. Was led by the Spirit to the wilderness for 40 days. He was tempted for this. Satan, as a fisherman, used all his baits against Jesus. Only the last 3 of those 40 days are narrated to us. The time is done. It's all ready for me to finish.
Keep going.
Thank you. Well, I'll go very fast at least so you can have real quick the rest of the story. Temptation. The temptation number 1, verse 3 and 4, let's read again. Thank you. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. I think that he was very fool, Satan. He's asking God, if you are the Son of God, which I think he knew that God, that Jesus was the Son of God. But he's telling him, command. So he's giving order to Jesus. Okay? That's the lure, that was the hook. I'm going to command you. Command these stones to turn into bread. He forgot that he's deity, that he's the Son of God, that he created the whole world out of nothing. Does Jesus need stones to turn it into bread? No. Not at all. But this is Satan presenting this point to him, right? So, I can call this temptation, put yourself first. And I'll tell you why in a moment. God, the subtitle will be, Godfather is withholding something good for you. Why am I telling you all these things? Well, verse 3, he's not denying that Jesus is the Son of God. It's in the statement of affirmation. He's affirming that Jesus is the Son of God. But he suddenly tells him, doesn't he want the best for you? Doesn't your needs matter to him? Doesn't he know you're hungry? Why in the world, if you are the Son of God, are you hungry? He's just declared from heaven that you are his beloved son. And look at the way that you're living here in the wilderness for 40 days. Mark says that he was surrounded by bees, wild bees. Angels needed to come to comfort him. What kind of father do you have? Put yourself first. Stop being obedient to your father. He doesn't care for you. You know the methodology? You know the philosophy that he's telling Jesus? How many of us have fallen into that category? Well, I'm in need. God knows that I'm not going to go into church. I'm going to do this. I know that this is not right for me as a Christian, but I have just need. I don't have enough. And we fall into the same philosophy. Have you fallen for this day? I'm in the wilderness. I have needs. God doesn't give me what I have asked for. I have heard that many times. Not among unbelievers. But among us. It looks to me that we really fulfill what the pilgrimage of God's people in the wilderness, right? We keep complaining and complaining. We never satisfy. And God says that, stop that. Don't murmur it. Don't be murmurs. Don't complain. But it looks to me that we find so many ways to do that. But instead of taking that bay, the bay, Jesus responds with the Bible in verse 4. We all know what verse 4 says. And I have a question after we read this for you. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus did not say, man shall not live by bread, period. But he says, man shall not live by bread alone. Right? Jesus responded with that Bible. How many times... I tell this to myself. How many times have I read the book of Deuteronomy? I don't even cannot pronounce that name. And in Spanish I can, but not in English. I always say the fifth book of the Bible. Okay? Have you read that book? I can learn how powerful is God's word. That even in that book, Jesus found the tools, the resources that he needs to overcome Satan's temptation. Now I understand what Paul says to Timothy. And what Paul says to the Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's so powerful. The whole word of God is inspired by God and is useful for us. So, do not take it for granted. Read the Bible. Let's saturate our heart of His Word. That will be the only way that we can overcome temptations. Be filled with His Word. Put it in your heart. Jesus overcame Satan with God's Word. He saturated with it. He models what David says. I have put your Word in my heart, so I cannot sin. I believe in English it's kind of different. Hidden, something like that, in my heart, so I cannot sin. Let's try that. Let's put His Word in our heart, and you'll see how victorious we will be. We'll be different. I hear in the prayer, whoever prays, I say amen to his prayer, that we enjoy being here. And I like that phrase, that we enjoy being here. Just ask yourself, what do you enjoy? What do you mean that you enjoy being here? Just because we belong to a group? Just because we are happy to see each other? Or we are enjoying here because we're praising our Lord? We are being filled with the Word of God. This is what I need. My soul is hungry. That's why I'm happy to be here, because I know that here somebody is going to provide for me what my soul needs. Then I say amen to that enjoying me. But if I'm just here happy because we're singing so good, I have good friends for so many years, and I feel in a good atmosphere, I'm not saying that it's a sin thing, but that now should be the main reason why I'm enjoying being here. It's a bigger main reason, spiritual reason why I enjoy being here. And you know what? I'm enjoying being here today. I really do. Becky and I, we were telling this each other before we were beginning the service, you know, how different feels here. And I'm not going to mention nothing about Florida churches, but it's just different, and we like, we enjoy being around you guys. How does that help putting His Word in our heart? How is it going to help me? Well, the Word of God will give me the mind, the wisdom, the moral boundaries of God. I will be thinking just like Him. And if I will be thinking just like Him, I know that I'm going to be acting just like Him. If I'm going to be acting just like Him, I will have the powerful tools to overcome any temptation that Satan will draw to me. I don't want to abuse your patience. If God will allow me, one day I'll come back and give you the next two temptations, because it's a little longer, the second one, and it's already past the time. But thank you very much for your fine attention. God bless you all. I wish you the best. I know that we all, churches we and brethren, are we dealing with this COVID pandemic thing. We'll be praying for you, and please pray for us over there in Florida. We also had some situations there with some people, but so far God has provided for us, you know, the way to be healthy, helpful to other people. We have some plans even to go to Central America in November, Lord willing. So pray for us, please, okay? And we will do for you the same thing. Before I go down from this place, if somebody this morning have heard these things and wants to come to Jesus, wants to come to God, remember, this is a great opportunity. Why is it a great opportunity? Because, like somebody says in the prayer, like Brother Solis says, our next breath is not secure. I don't know, especially in these times, you know. I guess always, but I mean, especially in these times, we just have heard, you know, you know that his brother passed away. You know that we're going to miss him. So think about your eternity. Think about your soul. It will be a time when we say, you know what, Satan, that's enough. I'll give you many years. That's it. I understand that there's a great purpose for God, of God to create me. I want to turn my life to God. And that's your decision. Let us know how we can help you. Thank you for your attention. God bless you all.